was a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I was a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaves. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea.
All I Want Is You is that song. It's by Barry Lewis Pollisar, which is music from the 2007 film Juno, which was a hit comedy about a teenager who gets pregnant and eventually gives her baby up for adoption. Well, our next story looks at unwanted teen pregnancy from a different, more troubling angle. Every now and then, there are news reports of a newborn baby dumped in a drain or found buried in a shallow grave. Well, this is the subject of young adult writer Diane Tutchell's latest novel about a teenage couple, an unexpected pregnancy, and the consequences of denial. It's called A Small Madness. Sarah Lestrange is speaking with Diane Tutchell from Perth and starts by asking her why she wanted to write about a couple who do the unimaginable and dump their newborn baby.
Look, it's something that's been on my mind for about 10 years. I lived in the US for a few years, and when I was living there, there was a young couple, high school seniors, who became pregnant, decided to hide the pregnancy, and when the child was born in secret, they disposed of that child. It was national news, you know, people were outraged, these children were referred to as monsters, and I remember the first time I saw them on the television, they just did not look like monsters to me. And I became obsessed with the idea of just how many victims there were in this story. So it's something that's been in my mind for 10 years or so, and I just sort of naturally gravitated toward that when I began writing my second book. I wanted to explore that topic of denial and teen decision-making, be it right or wrong. How does that play out, and does it really define who they are for the rest of their lives? So that was kind of where the idea for this came from.
Yes, I have to admit, when I hear these stories, yes, I feel sad for the baby, but I really do feel sad for the mother in particular too, who's obviously in a bad headspace.
Well, absolutely. And then the extended family as well. There's a ripple effect with this kind of denial. And let's face it, we're taught to excel in denial from a very young age. You know, a child falls over, starts to cry, and the parent will say, no, 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 you're not hurt, that didn't hurt. So this level of denial that can just insidiously infect an entire family unit, there are more than one victim in this sort of situation, and that's very rarely looked at.
So the young couple we're talking about in this book, they're actually both high achievers, Michael and Rose. They're in love, and they just make a fatal, stupid mistake, as many people have, of not using a condom when they have sex.
That's right. And even in this day and age, there are still young people having unprotected sex. There is a general sort of ignorance as well about, can you really get pregnant the first time? And of course you can. And of course they did.
I guess what's interesting about this couple, they're both high achievers. And is what you're getting at here that it can happen to anyone?
Well, of course. One of the other characters in the book, Liv, the reason she's there is to sort of juxtapose the whole idea of the good girl, bad girl concept. And there is this attitude that these young teens who get knocked up, they're bad girls. And there's never really the same sort of moniker put on the boy who does the knocking up. So I did want these two kids to be from good homes and high achievers, and both of them with futures, to show that this is something that's universal. It doesn't just affect the so-called bad girl.
And so with Michael and Rose, as you say, the denial is the word we want to use, because the denial goes from the beginning, from the time that Rose discovers that she's pregnant. And she just, neither her nor Michael feel they can go to their parents. All of them, they go to church, they're upstanding citizens. Is that the central point of this, that they've got no one to turn to? They just don't know what to do?
It's one of the things that I'd like my readers to talk about, because they really did have places to go, be it at school, be it friends, be it family. But it's their fear of how this will be dealt with by friends, family, school teachers, that prevents them from taking those steps. The fact is that there is always somewhere for these sorts of kids to go, but they just don't realise it. We put so high expectations on young people these days that the fear of disappointing parents, the fear of not meeting expectations, all of those sorts of things prevent them from doing something that could have prevented the tragedy that actually occurs, and that is simply talking to someone about the situation they found themselves in.
Because Rose doesn't even feel comfortable going to her doctor because she doesn't know what the rules around confidentiality are.
Well, yes, that's right. She doesn't know if she can even make an appointment without her mother knowing, which is something that I'm sure a lot of young people actually think about when they do need to speak to a medical professional about something and that they don't want their parents to know about.
What I found interesting in this book also is that both Michael and Rose go to church with their parents. Now, it might just be my milieu, but I don't know many people who go to church these days. Why did you want to have this as part of the story?
I wanted it as part of the story because I wanted there to be a right-wing moral compass, if you like, against which to compare what was actually happening in the teens' lives. So the expectation and the fantasy that parents and churches and society has about high-achieving children juxtaposed against the reality of what their lives are actually like and how out of touch churches and parents and teachers often and regularly are.
Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't tell my parents everything I did.
No, that's right. They are going to be out of touch. And young adults should have a level of privacy and they shouldn't have to reveal everything. But when they're really, really in trouble, I would hope that young adults would have somewhere to go to prevent this sort of thing happening. And it is happening more and more. The statistics aren't good. The US, 10 years ago, actually had to enact what they called the Baby Moses Law to give people, particularly young adults, somewhere to take their unwanted newborns. So it's something that needs to be discussed, I think, and especially amongst young adults, their parents and teachers.
Yes, there were a couple of cases at the end of 2014, weren't there, that were reported in the news?
And there was some discussion at that time also about, what were they calling them, baby hatches, some sort of legislation that would also enable a place for people to take unwanted babies. It's a terrible thing to have to even consider, but it's a reality.
So we won't go into the details of what actually happens in the book, but I guess we can say that Rose has the baby preterm and the baby is dumped. We can say that, can't we?
Well, we can.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. And I guess Rose's own descent into mental illness denial happened before she got to this point, but it suggests that she's not going to cope when the baby comes.
Yes, the reader is probably feeling the same kind of angst, I hope, that Michael is feeling watching Rose's descent, which is a terrible thing. I feel for her terribly. And in watching that descent, and it is that's why the book is called A Small Madness, it is a kind of madness that she descends into. And her lack of coping, I hope that the reader looks at that with compassion and realises that doing something this monstrous doesn't necessarily make this girl a monster.
Yes, well, and what does it make the father? As you say, we always talk about the mother. In this case, Michael just doesn't know how to talk to Rose, doesn't know what to do about it, doesn't feel he can tell anyone. He's grappling too.
Yeah, he's terrified. He's absolutely terrified. He just stays quiet about the whole thing and waits for it all to come crashing down, which, of course, eventually it does.
It does. And as I said, it is an addictive read, which makes it a really great read. And it's not just about issues. This is still fiction that we're talking about and a great novel.
This isn't an issues novel. I would like to point that out. First and foremost, it's a story about first love and relationships and what happens, these dreadful decisions that are made and how these impact on the lives of these children, young adults. And the issue aside, I would like my readers to get to the end of that book and perhaps think about what happens next and how does one or two really bad, dreadful decisions, do they really define us for the rest of our lives?
Diane Tutchell speaking with Sarah Lestrange. Her book, A Small Madness, is published by Allen & Unwin. And if you or someone you know is in pain over parenting and suffering from anxiety or depression, support is available through Lifeline and Parentline.